You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. In a famous scene from the movie Billy Jack, starring Tom Laughlin, a group of Native American students are dusted with flour by a group of racist bullies at an ice cream shop, and then Billy Jack goes into action.
And this little girl, who is so special to us that we call her God's little gift, the sunshine. And I think of the number of years she's going to have to carry in her memory the savagery of this idiotic moment of yours. I just go bizarre. Ha!
Tom Laughlin wrote, directed, and starred in all four of Billy Jack movies, a series of low-budget films in which he starred as a tightly wound half-Cherokee Vietnam vet who protects Native Americans, wild horses, and progressive ideals against attacks. Tom Laughlin was born in Milwaukee, but he played football at the University of South Dakota, where he met his wife, Dolores Taylor, from Winter. Tom Laughlin died last Thursday at the age of 82, and his roommate at USD was longtime Watertown broadcaster Don Eggert of KXLG-FM. And he joins us on the line. Mr. Eggert, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
My pleasure, Carl. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it.
And first of all, condolences on the loss of your longtime friend.
Well, you know, it was a surprise to all of us because of those of us that knew Tom in those early years. I don't say we lost contact with him, but at the time that he became ill early on with some of the health problems that he faced, there was a gap in there, of course.
Now, I read that you said that Tom Laughlin was the Tom Laughlin you knew was different from the Billy Jack character he portrayed on screen.
Oh yeah, that's very true, Carl. It was kind of a dichotomy because he really was not basically a violent man, but he had a side of him that I guess you could probably say he might have displayed that being short tempered. I saw that a few times, but it was never in a violent form, and. He actually probably took command of that particular trait, the personality trait, and expanded on it in the Billy Jack movies that subsequently became a cult almost over the years and to a certain extent exists today.
Now, as I read, Tom Laughlin fought to get the distribution rights to his film and eventually had a big impact on the way independent films were made and distributed. Was he always so single-minded and determined?
Determined is the word. You're absolutely right in determined is the word. He was a man that was very motivated, very emotional, and very directed in where he wanted to go at any given time. And there are several segments in his life, as you probably realize. The time that he was at the University of South Dakota at Vermilion in the 50s, and the Billy Jack years, as they are mentioned in some of the biographic information. But the thing that you want to remember is he was very dedicated, probably not planned that way, but that's the way it worked out in retrospect for those of us that knew him.
Now, how did the two of you become roommates?
Well, it became a kind of necessity when you are at the University of South Dakota. None of us had a lot of resources, and we were always looking at ways to cut our expenses. And we all, there were three of us that were involved with Tom Laughlin at the time before he married Dolores Taylor. And he was Denny Gray, who was also a Watertown resident, and one was myself. And, of course, then Tom, when we learned that there was a farmhouse or a farm family by the name of Millers, Mr. and Mrs. Miller, and they farmed adjacent to the city limits of Vermilion, just to the north, and we all three had rooms in that house at Vermilion. So it was kind of a coincidence that we all got together, but I guess the actual pairing together of all the three of us at that particular time was our common interest in radio broadcasting, and Tom more so in drama at that particular time.
Now, the interest in radio, we should mention, you worked at KUSD-FM, which is now SDPB Radio.
Well, yeah, this was actually, this was before the FM days, Carl. It was an AM station. KUSD was 690 on the dial. They had a 1,000-watt radio station that they had a signal in a good portion of South Dakota at that particular time. And Tom was participating in directing and writing some radio scripts. They would dramatize various events and various things in the history. For example, the Daughters of the American Revolution, the Pahawakan chapter that existed at that time and maybe still does in Vermilion, they brought a segment of history to that particular station. And there was some drama that was written by Tom and directed at that time.
It sounds like that was a lot of fun.
Well, you know, it really was, and I don't think any of us thought too much about what was going to happen, other than we all wanted to get into the business of radio. And Tom took more of a little different direction on it rather than being a staff announcer. Most of us started out as weekend announcers on commercial radio stations. I was over at KYMT in Yankton and up at KSOO in Sioux Falls and KWAT here in Watertown in those early years. And Tom, he more was in the drama side of it. And, of course, that wasn't in AM and FM radio at that time. There probably wasn't a way to make a living doing it at that time at this level.
Talking about Tom Laughlin, you mentioned he was involved in the drama side of things. Do you know if he had ambitions to make movies back then when you were both at USD?
Well, I kind of think he probably had that in the back of his mind because, as is the case with many people who have a talent along that line, they're not worried about the economics of it. Tom, I've got to say, he had some economic stresses that, as we all did to a certain extent, but probably more so than the rest of us. And he had come out of Marquette University in that area, and then transferred his credits to USD at Vermilion in the early 50s. And as such, he was our senior by a couple of years. He was born in 31, and I came along a couple of years later than that. So Tom was, we always kind of looked up to him and respected his talent and enjoyed working with him. He was a taskmaster when it came to directing radio, and we might not have always agreed, but he was always right in those years because he had that insight that perhaps most of us didn't have because we were more interested in the announcing side of it and working in radio as a staff announcer, that I don't think Tom ever shared that.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're remembering Tom Laughlin, the star and director and writer of the Billy Jack movies, cult movies, in the 1970s. He died last Thursday at the age of 82. He played football at USD. We're talking with his roommate during his USD years, longtime Watertown broadcaster Don Eggert. I'm wondering what was your reaction when you first saw Tom Laughlin in the movies as Billy Jack?
Well, I happened to be when those came out. He had left Vermilion, and I was involved in the military at that particular time, and he was in television series in 1955 after leaving Vermilion. I think that was a series called Climax, and there were feature films later that came on. I was more familiar with him in South Pacific that came along. That was he played a part of a sailor and kind of always an off-the-wall type of guy, but he could assume a lot of different roles. They weren't all the basic violent type of roles that he portrayed in Billy Jack as an ethnic protector in those years, as you probably observed if you've seen any of those particular films of the Billy Jack series. Mainly those were the, I guess you could call them the violent years, but he had films that Gidget and Loverboy and some of those. The Delinquents came out in 1957, and he played Scotty White, who was a teenager who got mixed up with the gang, and it went on to different themes as the years passed by, but I think there wasn't a he paired himself up, probably was chosen, as I remember, one publicity picture that came out with Humphrey Bogart, who was really an icon in his years, and he recognized the talent that Tom Laughlin had at that time. You want to remember that Tom Laughlin, the series, the time that I knew Tom for that 2.5 or 3 years that we were involved as friends, person to person, consisted of a very small part of his career, because he went on to politics in later years, and he became probably, by today's standards, quite a liberal in the political field.
I'm I read that some of the idea for the character of Billy Jack might have come from his wife, who was from Winter.
Yeah, Dolores Taylor. She was she had come to the university as many of us did in those years, and Dolores shared a talent, but she was not as outgoing as Tom was in those years. She was she and Tom got along very well, and they shared this dramatic talent, her in much different role, if you've seen, and she did star or work with him, and she also worked as a writer and a director in some of those movies, but she was not the outgoing individual that and the dominant personality that Tom had over the years.
How closely did you stay in touch over the years? I think you mentioned that there were some years that you were maybe not keeping in touch so much.
Yeah, in the 90s, I maintained a kind of a, we visited on the telephone. I never visited him. I was in California, and I had a son that was in, he still is in the Fullerton and Los Angeles area. And, you know, it's kind of coulda, shoulda, woulda stopped down to visit. We always had an invitation to go see him, but we did maintain the friendship over the telephone, especially during the years when he ran for president. And we always gave him a hard time about it, but I think he was probably more serious than we were at that particular time. He did. He ran in 2004. After that particular time, he described himself as being the least eligible to be president, other than George W. Bush. And of course, that was some of his basic political feelings. And they went back and forth over the years. From conservative to liberal at a given time in his life.
Did maybe this wasn't something you actually talked about with him, but I'm wondering if the Billy Jack movies weren't especially critically acclaimed. Was that something that concerned him or bothered him in any way?
I think it did because of the... He was always, and I hesitate to use the term underdog, but I think he thrived on that a little bit because... It gave him a platform, and he might have had different feelings about it than I'm giving a dissertation on right now. But I think he enjoyed that role of underdog because it gave him that platform not only to serve a cause that he believed in, but also to display his dramatic talent in a way that was very, very artistic. And I don't think any of us really realized the possibilities of that talent at that particular time.
Going back to those early days at USD when you were working on radio dramas at KUSD and you were in school with Tom Laughlin, favorite memories or was it just having the opportunity to work together in radio?
Well, he loved to eat, as we all did, but we would, Denny Gray, my was the son of Harold Gray, a local photographer. And he was at the university at that particular time, too, for a two-year period. And we would bring Tom to Watertown because my parents lived here at the time, and bring him home, as most students do. They bring their roommate home or they bring a friend home for a weekend. And he enjoyed coming to Watertown. He enjoyed meeting the families. And a lot of times he'd bring his laundry along and get the laundry done at the same time. Maybe we shouldn't talk about laundry, but that's what kind of happened at that particular time.
And you grew up in Watertown?
Yes, I was born here and raised and graduated from high school here, and got involved in the early years at over at KWAT in the late 40s, and went on with Bob Fain here at KXLG in the last 4.5 years here, and prior to that at KWAT and KYNT in Yankton, as I said, and KSO in Sioux Falls. So that was basically the route that I took, and by the way, it's still taking. But that Tom was the kind of the dramatic side of that whole picture rather than the radio majors, as we called ourselves at that time.